Hello, Jesse.
Hello, Katie.
What are we doing here today?
You're going to prompt me to talk about the way I just described it with, to some people, is what it's like being a tranny. yeah.
Okay. What I thought was that there's some things to talk about that we don't normally talk about, at least not in a way that resonates with me. And I suppose I should talk about some of the people I've been talking to. From North America, we spoke to my friends Miriam and Dawn. Miriam's in Canada. She is... Well, I've christened her the sunniest girl on the internet because she just is. And she is an accomplished writer of romantic historical fiction.
My name is Miriam Roburn. I've been in transition for almost 4 years. I've been on hormones for a little over 3 years. And I am coming to the end of transition, which is weird. But all of my major surgical and medical interventions are pretty much over. I'm recovering from the last one right now. And yeah, I'm facing down what happens after you're done transitioning. And all of my friends who have done that are saying that now I just live life, which is intimidating because I've never done that before. But otherwise, I am a mom of two. I am happily married to my wonderful wife, Megan.
And our friend Dawn is... currently living in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and she's been...
My name is Dawn Secord. I have been transitioning, I guess, for the last 2 years actively. I realized I was transgender about 5 years ago. Since then, I have kind of barrel rolled into being a woman full time. I am unlike Miriam, who is toward the end of medical transition. I'm just starting some of that stuff. And this year looks like it's going to be a big year for me. But for the most part, I'm just living my life. I don't really think about it too much unless I'm trying to be a project manager of how transition is.
In the UK, we have my friends Kate and Emma. Kate is someone I've known since 2008 or so. She also has the distinction of being the first person I came out to by virtue of the fact that she one day just posted, "Hey, whatever happened to so-and-so?" And I had to say, hi.
Goodness me. What a long time that has been. How old am I? 56 years old. 57 this year, is it? Or 56, can't remember. 56 years old. I'm based in Sheffield in the UK. I work in IT for some time. Politically, I tend to raise a black flag. I don't know. What do you want to know? I like to play the piano. I like to drink too much. I live alone these days. I like living on my own. Probably bumped into you because you were self-hosting some free software. So we're probably a bit of a self-selecting bunch of people here by the sounds of stuff, since we've got Emma here using Fedora on her desktop or laptop, whatever it is. And I'm using Debian here.
And Emma was somebody I knew, well, very soon after my egg crack moment. And she has very patiently sat through an awful lot of stress and grief and, you know, the turning upside down of my life, and I don't know how I would have done it all without her.
I remember it was on a particular website. It was like a trans support group. At the moment, I'm unemployed. I'm an unemployed software developer. For my sins, I programmed in C#. I liked Windows up to Windows 11.
Yeah, I think everybody cracks eventually. Everybody has a point where they can't take it anymore, which I think coincidentally is how we met at that particular forum site, which shall remain nameless. apparently my account there dates from 2017, so we've known each other for nearly 10 years, which I apologise profusely for.
I apologise profusely for you knowing me for 10 years. I would say that was more akin to a dragon. You know, thou art crunchy and good, taste good with ketchup.
Well, all I can say is that you were the right person at the right time, and I'm terribly grateful. Well, this was prompted in the first instance by, well, somebody asking me if I had any ideas for something to talk about, and also by something that my friend Miriam wrote.
Oh, shit.
About a year ago.
This is your fault.
It usually is, and it's usually I only find out later that it's my fault.
If I may, Mimsy, read out a Fediverse post you made about a year ago. So what you posted was that my cohort of trans girls, the girls who transitioned about a year before or after I did, give or take, all seem to be looking, and I don't mean this disparagingly at all, so profoundly normal, just regular women. Half of them look a lot like the women I grew up around, my mother's friends, church ladies, teachers. Absolutely love to see it. And I was so struck by that because, like, a week or two earlier, I was at a thing where a guy in the room, very, very polite, lovely guy, I'm sure he didn't mean anything by it, he said, "Thing about all trans women is that they all seem to want to dress like Carmen Miranda." And I thought, I'm here in the room with you, a few feet away from you, in T-shirt and jeans. I mean, honestly, if Carmen Miranda ever looked like this, she really let herself go. And it just astonished me. How is it that you can be, like, right in front of somebody and they don't see the person, they just see the stereotype?
Yeah.
Okay, so first I went to go look up Carmen Miranda really quick. And yes, I absolutely want to dress like this. I don't normally, but I would.
On a special occasion, yeah, I could absolutely see you rocking that.
And sometimes my special occasions are Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's a common thing, and I really chalk this up to what that guy was saying was trans women who I can clock dress this way. Because I guarantee that dude does not know how many trans women he walks past every day.
Yeah.
We are far more populous than people think we are. And after a certain point, a lot of us just blend.
Yeah.
There is a stereotypical how trans girls look, and what that is how trans girls look in the first year of transition. And people don't really understand that that's temporary.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of are conflating being transgender with people who are performing femininity, like drag. And I think that happens quite often, that people sort of conflate the two, that we are, that's what we're doing. And I've joked quite a bit that my whole aesthetic is Target mom, right? I'm the girl that you see at the grocery store, and I feel like when people are baby transgenders or baby transes, that a lot of people are expressing, they're experimenting with their presentation the same way a teenager would.
How to actually pull things off? Yeah, I mean it's a lot of stuff that you learn, and you don't just know it out of the gate.
I think I'm still struggling with a little bit, and that's relatively early on. My mother was being a little bit prescriptive in terms of her views on gender, in that she was like nominally supportive, but when I'd show up wearing my sort of full femme, I want to say glamorous, but I feel like early on it would have been an attempt at glamorous and not really a successful glamorous. And she would sort of comment like, you don't have to, you know, women can wear like trousers and stuff like that as well. I'm like, yeah, I'm not stupid. Like, I know. But I did try to take that on, and not long after I came out, I did try and wear sort of feminine trousers and blouse to work, and I hated it, truly hated it. Mm. And I'm very much kind of expecting that one day I will be comfortable with that. I'm not going to be wearing skirts and dresses every day forever. But at the moment, I'm really feeling like that's what I want to do. That's how I'm expressing myself. And I really expect one day I will be, I don't need to lean into the femme quite so much. There's a few things I have with some of my friends where it's like we acknowledge ourselves as sort of being like 13-year-old girls in some way, and that we're all maybe 12 to 24 months into transition. And yeah, we're doing a lot of things that's like things that we might have done when we were teenagers or you know, early 20s as women, but we didn't get to. So we're kind of tapping into that energy a little bit now.
Clearly what happened, well, clearly there's some kind of parody in the mainstream media representation of trans people. And that kind of parody comes back to, it's based around stereotypes from gay men and drag shows. But this is quite going back through stuff via popular culture. I'm sure you'll know more about this than I do. I'm sure you do. You know, the Carry On films and It Ain't Half Hot, Mum. And there's this kind of thing. There's a whole thread of this. There's a whole, you know, of representation in popular culture, which is how people understand how people understand things. I imagine, as with most people, I'm just trying to slide and squeeze through life, leaving as few footprints as possible, but feeling good about oneself. I think it's actually, you know, it's perfectly fine to look outrageous and glamorous and sparkly and as much as you like, you know, but you don't necessarily want to do that in the office or the train commuting to work.
A lot of media representation of the trans community, especially trans women, is Carmen Miranda type people. There's no ordinary trans woman because we're so boring, because we're so normal.
And I think it also serves the purpose of maintaining ontological security. Oh, fancy term, Katie. for the mainstream culture to say, oh, well, look, those people are so immediately and obviously recognisable that we can be confident that here behind colour bond fencing in suburbia, there are none of those people here, that they're all in the inner city, purple hair and dressing funny and so on. It's so obvious, but they're desperately reassuring themselves that they're, oh, no, there's no gay people around here. We don't have that here.
I think I have a strange perception of that because what I see of the group of trans girls that I'm a part of is there's a lot of neurodivergence on top of the being trans. So I'm going into those groups very much noticing, finally, I found a group of autistic trans girls to relate to. and so that's really good for me, and I sort of really latch onto that. I do think the thing your friend said about, oh, everyone's just quite normal, like, yeah, that's probably true. I don't really pick up on that because I guess I see behind the curtain a little bit. But I think from a sort of a little bit more of an outside perspective, if you didn't know all those people, that would probably be a fair assessment.
Yeah. You know, scratch the surface and there's all sorts of depths there. And everybody is so brilliant and so unique and just wonderful.
I have like massive admiration for trans people because I know that so many of them will just say like, well, I just had to come out. It's not like I had a choice. It just is like they'll put themselves through so much struggle and pain, or they already were in struggle and pain and they pulled themselves out of it. And they just downplay it, like, oh, that's just my life, it just happened to me. Like, yeah, I mean, that's a lot. Not everyone goes through that and comes out the other side. You did really well. You should be really proud of yourself.
I had a conversation with my GP last year where I was saying, look, do you think I should be taking this or doing that? And she was starting to look a bit concerned about me sort of giving her this shopping list of things that I sort of feel I ought to be doing. And I said, well, I just don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. And she said, what? You know, have you looked at what you've achieved in the last few years? And
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's massive. Like my last, you know, 12 months since coming out, it's like I just get up every day and do whatever I'm doing. I didn't a year ago I didn't plan to be where I am now, but I've done so much just by doing that, and every day, well, sometimes it was hard, but every day it felt like I got a little bit better, I got a little bit happier, I felt a little bit more me, and I can only assume that's going to continue.
I think for me, one of the big things was getting comfortable with talking about being a woman, because it just seemed like so much. It seemed like I, as probably every woman on the planet can tell you, looking at all the social expectations, the media representations, and it's just overwhelming.
Yeah, that was definitely a thing I struggled with at first. I mean, even from the point where I guess my egg cracking moment, where it's like, okay, I'm definitely not cis. And it still took me a little while to figure out, okay, where am I going to go with this? Do I want to be a trans woman? Do I want to be, you know, non-binary? Where am I going to end up? So I did a bunch of work on that, but I did also struggle with... And the thing that comes to mind is I had a friend who's a psychologist, and I was telling them I think I want to use she, her pronouns, but I feel like I haven't, like, earned it yet. And she told me, like, yeah, all of my trans clients say that. So after that point, it was a bit like, oh, okay, I guess I have permission. Like, it's okay. But in retrospect, it did feel like that egg cracking moment. I didn't know it at the time, but it was like I was having all these questions about my gender and whatever the feelings are around that. And one day I was having those questions as a man, and then the next day I was having those questions as a woman. And just like a switch just flicked in my head.
So for me, it was a therapy thing. Mm. It took me a while. Like, I remember 2 years ago on the International Women's Day that I was adamant that I was not a woman, that I was non-binary, or that I was trying to figure things out. And I had friends who were absolutely almost military or militaristic with me. They were very upset that I was trying to discredit myself. And it took me some time to realize that feeling like a woman isn't some, like, the skies don't open up and the beams from the heavens shine down on you and say, oh, congratulations, you have achieved womanhood. I had a therapist say to me, what do you think a woman feels like? And I realized that, oh, crap, I'm a woman because I'm a woman. Not that there's a feeling or anything special that's associated with that. I'm just a woman. And coming to that realization really helped me to embrace my womanhood. I'm a woman. Doesn't matter what anyone else says or what anything else. And even my brain sometimes is lying to me about those things because, yeah, I know I'm a woman because I'm a woman because I'm a woman. There's no feeling. There's no special anything that should happen by that.
So I did get the light from heaven and all of that that just told me.
Oh,
that.
Okay.
No, it is absolutely a thing that you come to slowly. It takes a lot of time. And for me, a lot of it was, I was very adamant and very forward with making myself think that way. Okay, I'm going to tell this story. So I just had vaginoplasty, and what, 3 days after, the night before the dressings were going to come off and I was going to see her for the first time, I could not get to sleep. And that's not normal for me. But when it happens, it's usually because something is processing. And I was raised evangelical. We're just going to detour slightly. And the worst thing that you can do or be when you are evangelical is wrong. You can't ever be wrong. You always have to be able to back out of whatever you are doing and say, oh no, that wasn't what I really thought or believed. I'm going to be correct now, and please don't censure me out of the community. So I discovered, as I was lying there in my bed, lying on my back, unable to move because you have to lie on your back all the time, I discovered in the back of my brain there was this little piece of me that was freaking out because I couldn't take it back anymore.
Yeah.
And obviously I could, but like it would be a lot harder now. And I had to just very delicately excise that little voice in the back of my head that was apparently holding on to some contingency plan that if I had to, I could go back on everything and go back to my old life or something. And since then, I haven't had any bad days.
That's amazing.
My experience was that was weird and unsettling because I thought I was past that. But yeah, it was 3.5 years into transition, almost four, before I got to that. So it can take some time.
Things got a lot easier when I started thinking of myself as just a weird old lady, which sounds very self-deprecating, but it's actually, A, it's a wonderful thing to be, and B, it's part of that process of narrowing down to like who are you?
Yeah. The first time I went, I left the house presenting femme. I was really expecting this is going to be really hard. I'm going to be terrified. I'm going to be really anxious and nervous. And I was like walking to the train station and I got halfway there and realized like, I'm not feeling that at all. I feel more confident than ever, which just blew my mind. Like, oh, well, I guess that's really confirming that this is the way I'm going. That's like, oh, I'm being me and I'm feeling confident and
For me, the act of transition is actually it's a speech act. It's not a, it's a speech act. The act of saying who you are. You say who you are, right, in a philosophical sense. And once you say that, you are that thing. Any other processes around that, really the process that is just about becoming happy with yourself, achieving happiness.
The work cover system is broken. Delays, denials, and profit-driven decisions are hurting real people, physically, mentally, and financially. Add your support to the call for change by the Injured Workers Support Team. Visit the Parliament of Victoria website, find the Legislative Reform for Workers' Compensation System e-petition, and add your name. Stand with the IWST and injured workers. Demand a system that is centred on recovery, dignity, and safety. Sign the petition today. IWST is a 3CR supporter.
Stay locked to 3CR.
The other thing that helped me get a lot more comfortable was the psychological. I know it's not for everybody, but the psychological effects of HRT were like, for me, night and day.
That was maybe the primary reason I wanted to start hormones. I'd spent a lot of years trying to sort of dig away at these toxic masculine ideas that had found their way into my psyche. I was trying to undo a lot of those, dig away at them, and then that led to me transitioning. But then even after that, I still would find them just coming out in a way of like, where's this coming from? I just keep finding just nonsense I don't want in my head. That was my narrative before starting hormones. And actually, I sort of haven't really thought about that since starting hormones, because it does feel like that really made a difference. The biggest thing I wanted was effectively, I wanted to be able to feel comfortable. I'm going to say crying, but it was feeling at all, really. I had a thing before hormones where we had a pet that died, and my wife was really upset and she was crying, and actually I had been crying moments before, but as soon as she started crying, my brain just switched off the tears, no emotion. I have to be the sort of strong stoic protector.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? I don't want this. I'm sad. Yeah. I want to be sad. But I did get exactly that. I started hormones, and then, well, nothing happened for the first couple of weeks, but then I upped my dose, and literally the next 2 days I had like really intense emotional dreams. Literally one of them I woke up crying, like, here it is, here's all your feelings.
Yeah.
Which was very intense and emotional, but I was really happy with that. Yeah, I spent a lot of time with psychologists going, you're talking about the practicalities, tell me what you're feeling.
Yes, I went through that a lot, having psychologists say, how do you feel about ... and my response would start with the words, I think. Not I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so HRT changed that dramatically for me. Now, anything can trigger me.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I was literally doing the washing up, listening to the Beatles, and I just burst into tears because it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And the actual song was Yellow Submarine. Because who doesn't want to live in a submarine with all your friends on board?
Yeah.
It is the most beautiful idea in the world. And I was so overwhelmed by it that I thought it was, you know, I would not give that up, the ability to do that up for anything.
So I am one of the trans girls who had an immediate reaction. And it's complicated because how much of it is actually biochemical changes and how much of it is just the stress and anxiety of finally getting on these medications that you've been trying to get on for sometimes years. But yeah, no, I felt very, very different very, very quickly in a matter of days.
Yeah, I'm very similar to Miriam in the fact that when I started taking estrogen, it was within 3 to 5 days that I experienced a mental sort of clarity. I've heard this sort of story from a lot of people. I have struggled with depression for most of my life, and it wasn't like a crippling depression. It was just sort of a constant sadness. Like there was I always describe it as if there was like a black cloud that just kind of followed me around. And when I started taking estrogen, that cloud just went away. It was like I could see the sun for the first time in years. And I knew, like, that was how I knew that I had made the right decision, was that I had all of the sudden experienced life without that overwhelming, or not overwhelming, but just constant sense of sadness.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember how long it took, maybe weeks. Suddenly everything is three-dimensional and full color. Yeah, I started having all these firsts, like going to a meeting and somebody who missed the previous week, having a conversation, getting her up to speed again, and thinking, oh my God, I'm talking to somebody And it's like I'm in the room with her at the time. I'm not watching everything going on from a distance and awkwardly trying to remote control my every movement.
Right.
It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
Yeah, I'm no longer the monkey in my brain piloting the flesh mech. Such a wild feeling because, like, I used to say that, but, like, jokingly. And then when I was no longer feeling that, I was like, oh, that, I wasn't really joking, was I?
Mm. As far as relationships go, I came at the project managing my transition from the perspective of, well, this is a perfectly ordinary thing that some proportion of the population goes through. I'll just explain it to people and everything will be fine. The reaction I was hoping for was, oh, okay, fair enough, carry on. And I have to say I'm one of the very, very lucky ones, and I've never had an actual bad reaction from a friend or relative. But all the same, things have gone a bit weird in just about all of my relationships, sometimes in a good way, but sometimes in a slightly sad, oh, things are not going to be the same as they once were kind of way.
Every relationship in my life is different now. And I got off easy. My wife has stuck with me. My family has been supportive. Everybody's been very, very supportive and helpful, but that doesn't mean that I haven't had a number of friends just kind of disappear on me. And I don't think that that is necessarily like have a problem with trans people or something like that. My impression is that they just don't know how to relate to me now. And that's a them problem. And I'm perfectly happy letting them have their problem. But it is really weird.
It's interesting the way a lot of our relationships change. And they take on new forms, right? As we've moved through this, through our lives, the way that we have. I consider myself really fortunate because I had a good coming out at work. I basically had two coworkers out of 50 who were a little grumpy and they don't believe in gender ideology or whatever. And we had to have some pretty serious conversations around what that meant. But my kids all accepted me, and in fact, they started using new pronouns for me right away. I thought I was going to lose my mom and my sister, and I actually have better, closer relationships to them than I have ever had before. I lost a couple of friends who, like Miriam said, we didn't really have a confrontation. We just sort of drifted away. And I've developed newer, closer relationships with a group of women that I never would have imagined I would have had this relationship with. So transition has had its ups and downs. There's been some good parts and some bad parts. But overall, my life is immeasurably better than it was before.
I mean, the main one was my wife. It did take a long time. She was supportive of me, and from day one she didn't need any convincing. But she did have some kind of grief or mourning for like the person I was, I guess, or the what she perceived our relationship to be. And for a long time I was kind of expecting like this is going downhill, and at some point she's going to say, "I don't want to do this anymore." It hasn't gone that way. I think it's got better. She's got through most of that mourning period, I think, which is really nice. I'm very happy with that. It's obviously changed. It's obviously a different relationship, but it's still there, which is the important thing. But yeah, I did have. With a lot of friends, not all of them, but yeah, there was some. The one that really sticks out to me is I went to a party with a lot of cis friends that I hadn't seen since I came out, and that this was actually about a year after my egg cracked, and I hadn't seen these people since I first came out, and they were fine. They weren't doing anything different, but I was like, oh, I don't know how to talk to cis people anymore. I've been hanging out with trans girls so much, and what do you mean we can't talk about what are your hormone levels? And and I think that's true of some other relationships as well. I've got that a little bit with my family, where they're just treating me the same as always, and I'm feeling like I couldn't tell you how I would want them to treat me differently, but I feel like I've changed in some way, obviously. and I feel like that should be reflected in our relationship, and it's kind of not. And I guess in some ways that's good. I'm happy with that, but also like it's a little bit confusing, and I don't totally know how to navigate that. Mm. Whereas talking with the people that I've met since coming out and dealing with them has been a lot easier, in terms of we're really all on the same page, so I can relate to you about a whole bunch of things, because yeah, we all started about the same time, we all have similar stories, even if they're not the same stories, they're like, yeah, I get that. I get what you're talking about, I relate to that. So I have a lot of that with trans people now, and then I kind of don't have that so much with cis people anymore, and hopefully it's not going to be like that forever, but yeah, that's definitely the stage I'm in at the moment.
Yeah, I know, like, the first time we went out for coffee, and that coffee lasted for like 3 hours, you know, I walked away thinking, I've known her my entire life. And
yeah,
that is an amazing thing that I never expected.
Yeah. I do relate so much to so many of the trans girls, and like that's, I feel so much included and seen by all of that. I guess that's the part that's changed about my relationships with my cis friends and family, is there's a part of me that wasn't being seen before, and now I've found it, I've pulled it out, and they're just treating me like the person I was pretending to be before. And I feel like I'm doing the song and dance of this new person, and you're not really noticing this interesting new person.
People knew us before, and they kind of are holding on to who they thought we were, which was just a mask. And now that we're living our lives as ourselves, like, I'm sad for the people that left my life, because they are missing me at my best.
Okay, I'm going to be that bitch. There's also a phenomenon, we'll say, where you realize that your relationship with these people was really superficial. Mm-hmm. And you've done some work on yourself, and you've understood how you work and your emotions and your place in life and all of these things. And they haven't done that work, and they can't keep up anymore. Mm-hmm. And the phenomenon is very gendered. I have not lost any of the women in my life. I have only lost men.
Accurate, 100%.
Yeah, and I think the relationship for me that's gotten the weirdest is how close I've become to my mother, which I never expected.
Right?
The degree to which my mother and I are able to say things to each other now that we would never have imagined saying to each other is kind of nice.
Oh, it's amazing. And like there was a day, and there wasn't any like event or anything that day, but there was just a day where my mom figured out that, oh, I have a daughter now. And our relationship completely changed because she was like, oh, I do daughter things with her. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it's been amazing ever since.
Yeah, and I alluded to it earlier that my relationship with my mom and my sister, I never really had that. I got along with them, but it wasn't like close. And now my sister was like just so excited to have a baby sister. And she's like, we have this relationship that we never would have had before. And it's much better and deeper and satisfying and fulfilling than any relationship I've ever had with any of my family members in the past. I'm so grateful for that.
So trans community, that's something I never imagined being a part of. Do you find yourself feeling like a member of a new community now?
So I have a complicated answer because I have acquired fantastic friendships with a number of trans people online. And we have our little cohort that is progressing through the rough shape of things, and we can commiserate and everything else. And that network is collapsing because a lot of us are finishing and people drift away, and mostly they drift away to go live their full authentic lives. And that's wonderful, but I miss them. And some days I can feel myself drifting away and not posting so much and whatever else, because I don't need that support. I don't have the questions, and I am tired of giving the same answer that I have now been giving for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is. That's how it works. So I have started being very intentional about making personal one-to-one connections with people in that cohort, making sure that I have most of these people I know from Fediverse, so I make sure that I have their Signal and their Discord and everything else so that I can talk to them individually if one day they decide they're done with Fediverse, which has happened. Early in my transition, I was very adamant that I was going to be part of the trans community here in Winnipeg. We have this fabulous Rainbow Resource Center. They hold trans meetups. There are marches and protests and everything else all the time. And I went to all of it, and I got really burnt out on it pretty quickly in about a year. Part of it is because all the other trans girls are a lot younger than me. And they're really loud. it was not comfortable for me to
you
be in the same.
You kids turn it down.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a similar relationship with the younger group and with trans community. Like I somehow found myself being a trans elder on Fediverse, which is weird.
It happens so quick.
It does. Like one day you're like, hey, how does this makeup look on me? And am I passing or whatever stupid question you're asking? And the next thing people are asking you for advice. And it's just a weird thing that just all of a sudden someone flips a switch. And I don't mind it online as much. But when I find when I hang out with other trans people in meet space that it's exhausting. It's taxing in a way that I can't fully describe. I've always made sort of the joke that when you get a bunch of trans women together, all we do is talk about being trans women. We talk about our traumas, we talk about all of these things, and I think that's important at a certain stage in your transition. But after a while it just sort of starts to get exhausting, and I don't want to just live, and I don't want to mire myself and just live in that sort of trauma. I want to live my life. Which is kind of ironic. This coming up Trans Day of Visibility will be my first one out as myself, and I don't know if I'm going to participate just because, I don't know, I find it exhausting.
strange thing to say. Being trans is a detail about me, but it's not my entire identity, and I don't want it to be my entire identity. I want it to be a thing that I went through, and I'm living my life now.
How do you feel about those occasions when you're pressed into service by people as being the local representative of the trans community and feeling like you ought to be speaking for somebody who you don't really represent?
Yeah. So there's two things that are very similar. There's being called upon as a representative of all transes everywhere, which is always bullshit. Mm. And there's also like when you are identified correctly or not as the trans elder in the room and somebody comes to you for help. You get to opt out of either of those whenever you want. It's your choice, etc. I rarely do. I'm pretty comfortable being the public trans person. And I have a mothering streak a mile wide, so somebody needs help. I'm going to mother them. But it can be kind of disorienting how quickly that role is foisted on you. And I think, unfortunately, it's just something that you kind of get used to and you practice, and either you adopt that as part of your identity or you refuse it.
I don't think that I could be like the voice of the community. I don't think that's a thing that I could do. But in my organization, I'm the only visible trans person. People have seen me go through transition. So I think that one of the things that I expect is for people to either reach out to me if they are, you know, questioning their gender and need some advice, and I'd be happy to help them with that. But I think that one of the things that I do that is just living my life, I think that becomes an example without necessarily being a spokeswoman for the community. I'm just living my life, and people can see that it is possible to be trans and just have a normal life.
As a trans elder of 1 year standing, how do you feel about people coming up to you, and either trans people or in my case, I guess cis people saying, I don't understand, what is this all about?
Yeah. I don't think I've had it that much.
No, I have to say, I don't get a lot of it, but particularly with the times being what they are, I'm certainly quite happy as long as the questions are genuine, with the proviso that nobody gets given an instruction manual. We're all making this up as we go along. Yeah. There's no, I can't speak for everybody.
I find actually for the most part, if I'm talking to girls who are a bit nervous or anxious, and the thing I'll say is like, for the most part, people are just going to ignore you. They've got other shit going on.
Yeah. I found that the greatest relief, that don't even get a second look. Very rarely get a double take. I think I once had a 2-year-old child stare at me with furious consternation in a what the hell is going on here kind of way. But otherwise,
honestly, if I am getting double takes, I probably won't notice, because I've been told when I'm out with other people from my colourful women's clothing era that I would get double takes then, and just people would have to tell me that someone's just stopped and gawked at me in the street and I just didn't notice. So that might be happening and I'm just completely oblivious to it.
Yeah, well, I prefer to just go around assuming that the sight of my backside in tight jeans makes all women envious and strong men fall to their knees weeping.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just try to rise above it. What brings you girls joy? What strange obsession or fixation or intellectual enthusiasm or activity revives you and keeps you going?
This is part of my problem right now, is that I'm supposed to go live my life and I'm not entirely sure what cool shit I do. I write, I have written all my life. I suspect I will keep doing that, but it's one of those things where I'm seriously considering, like, do I want to continue pursuing that? Do I want to maybe do some other thing with my time? Which is weird to even contemplate. I might go back to writing, I might not. I love cooking. I love taking care of a house. I'm presently working full-time, so I don't get to do that as much as I used to. I really, really liked being a housewife and the stay-at-home parent. But I don't get to do that anymore. So I don't know what shape my life is going to be, and I don't know how I fit into that shape, the things that I like. I used to play a lot of video games, and I can't anymore.
Same.
I don't care. I can't pay attention to learn a new game because it just doesn't hold my attention anymore. And I think that's a good thing, sort of, maybe. Because I used to play a lot of video games is a nice way of saying I used to disassociate using video games.
Yeah.
Because the games that I liked were the, like, play one playthrough takes days at a time to set up your star empire and learn all of these ridiculously baroque mechanics of how they all interact and optimize everything. And I cannot generate the emotional bandwidth to care about any of it anymore. So yeah, I don't know what I like anymore. I know some things, I know bits and pieces, and I am going to figure out how to put them together into a life.
That's a really interesting question, because recently I met a new person who asked me that. What do I do? What is, you know, what fills my life with joy? And I was like, I don't have an answer. I used to think I knew. And it's really strange to go have your brain draw a complete blank when someone asks you what you do for fun. One of my friends recently on the Fediverse mentioned that, like, when you realize that you're trans, transition is the easy part. You realize that you built your entire life on that lie that you were the opposite gender, and everything that you think you liked, a lot of it relates back to who, to that gender that you thought you were. And and so you find yourself going, do I like that, or did I just think I liked that because that was what I was supposed to do, or because I was disassociating, or whatever? And when I think of all the things that boy me used to love, video games, playing guitar, getting my Jeep dirty, shooting my bow. Those things are, I have to reevaluate every one of those, and I have to decide, do I love this, or do I think I love this because it was what I was supposed to be doing? And I found that some things have just fallen away. Video games is a great example. I haven't played a video game in almost 2 years, and I used to play them all the time. So I think that there's a future there, and it's kind of like the end of the last episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, when Buffy turns around and sees a wide open road behind in front of her, like her future is wide open. I have no idea what I like to do. I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm going to find out as I go.
That's beautiful.
Is it beautiful? Yeah, it's terrifying to me.
It is terrifying. It is. I don't know who I am.
Trans Family is a not-for-profit organization providing a peer support group for loved ones, including parents, siblings, extended family, and friends of a trans and gender diverse person. Trans Family runs discussion groups in person and online. We offer a safe space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your situation, and provide peer support. We are especially keen to hear from loved ones in regional and rural Victoria. Donations to Trans Family are tax deductible. For more information, visit transfamily.org.au or look for us on Facebook. Trans Family is a 3CR supporter.
It's real, it's authentic, and it hugs you and it loves you for you. And that's what I think 3CR is. It's your best friend that doesn't care what you look like, how you sound, how you dress, how you move. It's going to accept you and love you as you are.
You have so many adorable hobbies.
Well, where do I start? Well, I play piano. I do cross stitch, wood turning, crochet, and I'm part of the ultimate in heavy metal band. I'm a church bell ringer. The other thing is, like, I enjoy steam trains. One of my lifelong ambitions is to drive a locomotive. To do that professionally, you got to pass so many exams. I don't think I've got a hope in hell's chance.
Do you do the bell ringing with the Bell Ringing Society?
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, a lot of people there don't know I'm trans. And some of them can be quite religious nut jobs.
Kate, you're I don't know if you call yourself semi-professional, but you play piano in bands and things in front of audiences, which I think is quite impressive.
I do on occasion, yes. I've been enjoying doing that. I don't do it very often, to be honest, but I do it on occasion. Yes, that's something I get to. I enjoy playing piano. That's quite nice. Yeah. What other things? I started reading again. I hadn't been reading for years and years. I think I'd almost forgotten how to do it. Reading novels. Though I've not read one for a while, so I've got fallen down a different rabbit hole at the moment, but just a couple of years ago, I got myself a Kindle, and do you know what? I can make the font really big on it. And, like, it becomes much easier to read and concentrate on the page when you can actually read the letters without, read the words without squinting. So I enjoyed reading novels again.
Now that you are kind of a lot more settled, something that came up with the people I've been talking to is facing that moment where you think, okay, I've done this. I've achieved what I wanted to achieve. What on earth do I do now?
Yeah.
And I definitely do feel, oh my God, I've been running on adrenaline for so long.
Yeah.
And now it's gone and I can relax. How do I even relax? How do you do that?
Yeah. I don't think I am settled. I think I definitely feel like I'm still growing and I'm still finding new parts of me, not even necessarily related to transition. It's probably more related to the confidence that I've got now and the feelings of sort of acceptance and happiness. And then that's, yeah, so I think I've still got a long way to go.
The way it seems to me is that a lot of what I was doing earlier on in my life was consoling myself with little indulgences that I just don't need anymore because I don't need consoling. It is jarring thinking, oh, I don't need to find ways to fill in the time while I'm not living.
Yeah.
I can just go out and live.
Yeah. What even are my tastes and interests? So I've had a thing of like, all right, here's, if a thing comes up and if it scares me in some way, and my natural instinct is to sort of run away from it, that means I should do the opposite. I should run towards it. I should jump in and embrace it. And that's kind of terrifying in that I don't feel sort of scared of doing that because I have so much newfound confidence. I don't know what to do with it. But it's kind of terrifying in that I so much don't know sort of where I'm going, what the boundaries are, things like that, where like I feel like I'm probably going to make a mistake along the way.
Well, in fact, there's so many things that I would never do in a pink fit, like going out on a Friday night to a place where people are all dressed up and having a good time, and yet I let somebody who's in this room at this very moment drag me along to that very sort of thing. And
yeah.
Maybe not quite ready for that yet, but one day. Maybe.
Honestly, that was, I think that's exactly why I'm doing that, because I went to that and at least the first couple of times, it was terrifying. In fact, the second time I went, I literally ran away after about 20 minutes of being there because I was so overwhelmed with anxiety. But then since then, I've pushed myself to go back, and I've met people and I've made some really close friends. And that's exactly why I'm going, like, okay, this thing scared me so much. This is like everything I hate, everything I am terrified of, everything I've been scared of my whole life was like, yeah, going out, talking to strangers, meeting people, I want to be sick. And then I do it, and then it turns out great, and it's fantastic, and I've met wonderful people, and it's helped me grow and in so many ways. So, like, well, maybe my anxiety was wrong. Which you say like that, like, yeah, of course it is.
Thanks so much, everyone. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for sharing everything. Absolutely. There was a comment in there about not being involved in Trans Day of Visibility, but you will be, because we're going to air on Trans Day of Visibility.
Yay!